So just a possibility to try to work out the shita. You know, that last nafkamina, that 4 and 5. Okay. Yeah. So remember we said the question the shita masas was, were there two, are there, is there like two separate realms, like the chafta shal mitzvah and the maisa mitzvah, the mitzvah sasai? Mm-hmm. Or do you say no, they're inseparable? Right? And if you say that they're inseparable, then you can't have such a thing as an mitzvah as gelchasa. Because once it's not gelchasa, it's not good for the mitzvah, and it's not. But if you say they're separable, then you can have something which is not gelchasa, so it's not good for the mitzvah, yet it's still a chatzah mitzvah. Right? And similarly by the 3 and 4 corners. Okay? As explained. Question is, could we tie this into 4 or 5? Right? On the balas tamish, how many corners you put it on? So, I was thinking more into what did it come down to about whether you could recognize this chafta separate from the mitzvah, you know, from the mitzvah asay. Like, what does that depend upon? You know what I mean? So, I was thinking, I think it's similar to what we said in Rashi a little bit. But here's what I was thinking, that so to speak, before mitzvah sittus exists, before the Torah came along with the Tzura and the mitzvah sittus, there is a phenomenon, okay, you can imagine a phenomenon, of defining a begad, giving a begad a definition. Okay? And what's the method of defining a begad, of giving the begad a certain type of a definition? Through the corners. Right? Through the corners. Through putting something on the corners. You want to give it a definition of mitzvah, put strings on the corners. Tzitzis, by the way, just means like strings, like the Rambam says the Lashon is from like a hair, like strands of hair or something like that. Tzitzis harosh. Apparently it's like strings or something. So you want to define it as mitzvah, put strings on the corners. Right? How? I don't care exactly how you tie them, whatever, but whatever. Essentially, there could be an idea of defining the beged as mitzuyatas. Okay, that idea exists. Okay? But, that's not a mitzvah. I mean, the Torah has come along creating a mitzvah of Magdil and Tasel Chalara Kantas Kososha. Right? It's creating a mitzvah. Now, the question is how. So apparently, the mitzvah, you have a mitzvah now to define the baguette as a baguette shalchitzis. Okay, and the question is how does the mitzvah take place? So do you say that the mitzvah basically tells you how do you define the baguette? How do you define the baguette? Through the mitzvah say. The mitzvah say gives you a tzura, the exact tzura. How do you define the baguette? Through putting four tzitzis on the four corners, that's how you define the baguette. Okay? Right? That's one way. The Tzuras HaMitzvah defines for you how exactly you define the baguette. And that's it. What's the reality of defining the baguette? If you follow the Tzuras HaMitzvah, Kehilchasa, that defines the baguette. Okay? Fine. And that's the mitzvah. And that's all there is. That's all there is, basically. Define the baguette through following the Hilchos Tzitzis exactly 100%. Okay? The other way to say is that there's a reality to defining a baguette. Before Mitzvah Tzitzis comes along, you can define a baguette in a certain way. Okay? Even as a string, as Mitzvah. Now what Halacha does is it comes along and says, it so to speak limits that, and says it gives a Hilchos of exactly, it's true you're defining the baguette, but define it in a specific kind of a way. It makes it into a systematic kind of a thing. But essentially, you're defining the baguette. But it could limit it and say, so to speak, don't define the baguette as mitzvah just by putting strings on it in any random which way, but I want you to twist it away around in a certain way and all that stuff. But essentially, it's just giving the, so to speak, limiting the scope of the method of defining the baguette. But you're making use of the reality of defining the baguette, which existed, so to speak, before mitzvah. There's such a reality of defining a baguette. And you're making, but the Torah is, so to speak, limiting how exactly you could do that. It's putting limitations on saying a specific method of defining the baguette. But essentially what you're going for is defining the baguette, which is a reality outside of the mitzvah. Okay. Or do you say the first way is that that the Torah, there's no, so to speak, external reality of defining a beged. The Torah is, what's the order, how do you define the beged? Through following the mitzvah tzitzis, exactly. That's it. That's only, there's no other reality out there, so to speak. Is that, well, let me, again, let me just, again, the main difference is like, sort of, this is a way, so to speak, you could imagine. Before Matan Torah, you could imagine that I could define a beged as mitzuyetzes. Okay, mitzuyetzes just means strength, as having strength on it. Okay? Before Matan Torah, outside of mitzvah, you could define it as such. Now, that's possible. Now, the question is, when the Torah came along and said mitzuyetzes, what is it doing? Is it basically saying, forget how you define the beged before Matan Torah, forget all that stuff, forget all the methods which you would think of. And it's objectifying. How do you define a beged? Through exactly tzuras, the mitzvah of mitzvah, that's the way you define a beged. Throw out everything else you know. Okay? This is the method, it's objectifying, setting up an objective method for defining a beged. Or do you say, no, Torah is recognizing the, so to speak, the old method of defining a beged. There's a natural method which presents itself to man, the categories which man deals with. And the Torah is simply, it's giving a form to that, but essentially it's dealing with defining, it's a limitation within the natural idea of defining a beged. Okay. What's the difference? Okay. So I'll say the most glaring nafkamina, you know, it could be by the case of five, by a five-cornered beged. Okay. Because if you have a five-cornered beged, so if you were to ask, how would you define a beged which has five corners? In the general worldly type of framework, how would you define the thing? Through all of the corners. Okay, through all of the corners. So if mitzvah tzitzis is simply taking this idea of defining a beged which exists, and it's just giving it a specific tzura, so in a five-cornered beged, you're going to have to put it on all five corners, because ultimately you're going for the reality of defining a beged, which is a reality which exists. So the method is going to have to be through all five corners, because that's the way it defines something, through all the corners. But if you say that the Torah is saying, forget how you would have defined begadim before the Torah came along, but you define a beged through following the hilchos Torah of the, you know, of the gedilim tasu chalarba kanfas ksuscha, then what is the objectified method which the Torah is setting up to define a beged? Judala kanfas. It doesn't say anything about five. So you want to tell me a five-cornered beged, you also have to define? Fine. But you do the method which the Torah is objectifying of how you define it. Okay? Fine. Did you follow that stuff? Well, let's take another nafkamina. I think another nafkamina will may help make it a little clearer. So let's say the nafkamina of Shabbos, of Einu Mitzvahs Gelchasa. Right? Einu Mitzvahs Gelchasa means if I put strings on the beged in some random way, not exactly the way the Torah says to do it. Right, so if you say that the way in which you define a beged is through the exact tzuras hamitzvah, the way the Torah sets it up, so then that's meaningless. You didn't do anything because it's not gelchasa. That's Ravuna's halacha. That's Ravuna, because the way you define a beged is through the helchoseha, through the system which the Torah set up, and this isn't it. So then, what are the strings? The strings are nothing. There's no reality to a chafta outside of that, because the only way the Torah is saying this is how you define a beged. It's through this specific method. But if you say that the Torah is recognizing the idea of defining a beged, but it's just limiting its scope and saying you have to do it in an exact specific way, so then if I don't do it in that specific exact way, there's still a chafta shel tzitzis, because the Torah is recognizing the idea of defining a beged as a mitzvah. It's just giving particular details insofar as the Maisa Mitzvah is concerned. It's limiting insofar as the Mitzvah is concerned, but it's recognizing a reality of the Chatzah Shel Tzitzis. It's recognizing that reality. It's just giving further limitations. But it's still part of the Beged, it's still defining the Beged. And similarly, the case of Kalayim, that once you're saying that the Torah is saying that you're defining, that the Mitzvah, I say, is recognizing the definition, so to speak, the concept of defining a beged, it's just giving it a specific tzura. So you're telling me that there's a recognition of the chafta shel tzitzis outside of the maisa mitzvah of the gedilim tasu. So if that's the case, and you could argue when you have four, if you put it on all four and then it goes down to three, the chafta could still exist even though it's not in line with the mitzvah. But if you say that the Torah is defining the method for defining a beged, then if it's not the mitzvah to say, then it can't be anything. It's not. Okay. I think it's a good thing. I mean, again, it's an approach. I mean, I think it needs work. Okay, so we were thinking. We're thinking of a svara for the case, the first case in the Gemara. Okay, the first case in the Gemara is if a guy cuts. I'm on the batzer legulim elovin lo klum shavi v'talas balas chamesh. So he cuts off the corner of his baguette. Okay, and we see here that there's two different ways of learning the case. The Meir Halacha learns the case that he cuts off the shape of a dalet. Basically, he cuts off a little square from the corner. Okay, cuts a tiny little square from the corner, and therefore ends up having like a dalet shape missing. Okay, or a square missing from the one corner. So now it in fact has five corners. Okay, that's the case according to that one way of learning. So the best way of learning is not where you cut off a square, but you cut off like a diagonal off of the corner. So now it's like a five-corner baguette. But either way, it doesn't make much of a difference. But the question is, so I may think for some reason that you're putter from tzitzis. Kamash malon. No, you're still chayav, because now it's a five-corner baguette. So we say, what's a svara? So we said that it could be, the question is when you see there's apparently there's a such thing, four-corner baguette, five-corner baguette, three-corner baguette. You see that in mitzvah tzitzis, there are realities of the amount of corners. Now, how do you understand that? Do you say that there are different types, there are different qualities of a gadim? The Torah recognizes as a three-corner baguette, a four-corner baguette, a five-corner baguette. As the asiyah, you make a baguette, every baguette has a certain shame. What corner baguette is it? It's a certain shame in a baguette. So if that's the case, if you have a four-cornered baguette, you make a four-cornered baguette a square, then you can't just cut off a tiny snippet of it and say that's going to redefine the nature of the baguette. It's still a four-cornered baguette, which is missing with the hole in it. It's a four-cornered baguette with a hole. You can't make it into a five-cornered baguette just by making a tiny cut in it. It's a four-cornered baguette where its corner, you can imagine its corner being there, but its corner is missing. So now you have four corner baguette, which is chayiv and tzitzis, but the makom hanachas tzitzis is unfortunately gone. So I'd say you're potter on the shofar matra. You can't do it. Okay, but if you have to envision the baguette, basically, it's a full baguette, but a piece is missing. But that piece is in your mind, that's still part of the baguette. It's missing. Okay, that's if you say that a four cornered baguette is the definition of a baguette. If it's definitely a baguette, you can't just change it so easily just by cutting off a piece of it. But if you say that a four corners is just an accidental thing, how many corners does it have? It's like descriptively. If you look and have the extremes, how many corners does it have? So you have a five corners, three corners, four corners, however many corners. So if that's the case, and we cut off a snippet of it, now the question is, so how many corners does it have now? That feature of amount of corners, how many are there now? So now there are five. Oh, so you put it in as a five-corner baguette. Okay? You don't say, if it's just a characteristic, how many corners it has, then you don't say it's still a four-corner baguette, but the corner is missing. No, now it's now the feature, that accidental feature of corners has changed. Now it's a five-corner baguette. So therefore, that's what it's teaching you. Now it's a five-corner baguette. So put it on four of the corners. So it's like any other five-corner baguette. So that's what he's teaching you. The four-corner baguette, five-corner baguette, three-corner baguette isn't a different quality of a baguette. It's just it's just like an accidental feature of how many corners it happens to have. Okay, but that could change just by a cutting. Okay?
Yeah.
Omer Misharsha. I'm on the Tsairi Leglim, a little bit of a local. So let's say a person, like he ties up, okay, he has a four cornered baguette, and he ties up, it's long. Okay, like Rashi explains, it's a long baguette in front, let's say. He does is he folds it up, okay, and then like ties it so that it will stay. So now, by doing that, it's still a four-corner baguette, but he changes the location of the corners. Because by folding it up, its corners become misplaced. So now the question is, where is he going to put the tzitzis? Right, where is he going to put the tzitzis? So if he's going to put it now on, does he put it now on these new corners? Right. So it says, the Gemara says, no, it's nothing. It's as if you didn't do anything. And Ren, you're going to have to put tzitzis on, presumably on the old corners. Because my time is going to show them, because it's as if you all undid it. Right, so we have the case, right? We have the case, we have a piece of paper there. That's done. you have the garment, this is it hanging down in front, and you fold it upwards like this, okay, and you like somehow like tie this up somehow, you tuck it under somehow, whatever, and now basically the corners practically are over here, right? But these corners, since it's just a tied up, it's eventually soon enough just going to come down, and when it comes down, if you put, you would have put this here at the new corners, when it comes down and goes back to its real configuration, now you can have tzitzis in the middle. So it's saying, since it's eventually going to, Rashi explains, since it's eventually going to come down, it's now as if it already came down. And therefore, you chayv in tzitzis in the normal place, in the real corners, not in these folded up corners. Right? And he says, it's just like you see when it comes to this mekabel tumah. That if you have a kli, which is it's only mekabel tumah if it holds water. So if you sew the bottom of it, now it holds water. But if you just make a knot on the bottom of it, which is a temporary kind of a thing, so it doesn't define it as a kli. So therefore, you see that a knot basically is a temporary thing and isn't involved in the definition of the thing. Okay, so it's seemingly a similar type of thing. So the question is, what's the hapenel habino held? No! That by folding it up, now you're changing the corners, and you're going to have to put the tzitzis on those on the new corners. So in Kamash Malan, no. That doesn't do anything. Folding up doesn't do anything. So the question is, what's the start for either side? Okay? For a first step, I think. I just want to take a first step and then try to give a little bit of motivation for it. But just the basic question is, how do you define a corner? Okay, is the corner just like a functional concept, like you guys are saying? It's the manner in which you're wearing it. You wear a thick garment when you're wearing something. There is the ends of it, right? It's like an aspect of the wearing, that there's the function of, you stick your hand down and you come to the edge of the thing, that's the corner. Okay, it's a functional thing. And that's something which is going to change from Levisha to Levisha. If you tie it up in a way, and right now, as far as my Levisha is concerned, without the middle is functioning as the corner, and that's the corner. It's just a functional notion. Okay, so it's gonna constantly change. Okay, it can constantly change. Okay? Or do you say that a corner is like an intrinsic component of a baguette? Okay? Whereas a baguette has components. When you make a baguette, you're creating an entity. Okay, a baguette is an entity. And that entity has a middle and has corners. Okay, I see it, and it's just there's corners to it. So the corners of the baguette are intrinsic components of the entity. Now, if they're an intrinsic component of the entity, then you don't change an intrinsic component of an entity by a temporary measure. Temporary measure doesn't change the definition of something, because its nature is temporary. To change its definition, you have to do something which is permanent. But if you're just folding it up with the intent of taking it down tomorrow, then you can't see, you're not going to say that these are the corners. No, the corners of a thing are, intrinsic corners are the real corners, which it started with. Right now, it happens to be they're not functioning in line with their nature because I temporarily folded them up. But if I had to look at the baguette and say, what are its corners, then it's the original corners. If it were permanent, then you could say, now I'm redefining the corners. But as long as the thing is only a temporary measure and I have a definite plan to take it down, then if you have to identify that component of the baguette, then it's the old one.
Actually, let me put your right
into it. Why? The question is, why would you say one way or another? Okay, I mean, you could just say that. That's a good definition. But maybe you could say, maybe just to go a little further. Why should you say that way? And maybe the thing is like this, is that question is, and I think this gets down to something we were saying before, is that in tzitzis, it's not just that you have a garment which you attach tzitzis to, like a separate thing. You know, tzitzis with an addition to it. So if that were the case, then you could put it on, well, where do you want to attach it? You could do it on whatever the corner is right now. But in tzitzis, what you're doing is you're defining the baguette as a baguette shel tzel mitzvah or shel tzitzis. It's a redefinition of the baguette. Okay, it's not a baguette shel chol, it's a baguette shel mitzvah. Right? That's the idea of corners, that's what we're saying, is that you're defining the entity. Now, and how do you define the entity? Through its corners. Corners are a component of the entity, And through that component, those components of the entity, you're defining the beggar. Okay? So when you're dealing with defining the thing, you don't go to a temporary characteristic of it and say, well, what is the corner now? Because a definition is relating to the very essence of the thing. So therefore, if you're defining a garment through its corners, now you're dealing with corners as an essential component of the thing. So therefore, you have to go by the permanent corners, not just by the accidental. Defining a thing doesn't keep going back and forth every moment with a different way you're going to wear it. You define it based upon its underlying definition. Okay? So therefore, the corners are part of its definition. But if tzitzis weren't like a definition of the object, but were just a separate thing, attach tzitzis on its corners. So then you could have imagined that corners are going to be however or whatever is functioning as the corner. Because it's just the next time, it's just like you're giving it a condition to the thing. But since that's not the case, it's a redefinition of the garment, so now you have to look at the underlying nature of the garment. Its corners are unchanged by a temporary thing. Like, for instance, that's an example of a kli, if it's makabel tum or not. See, a kli doesn't just mean, does it hold water right now? A kli is a definition of a thing. Either it's a kli or it's not a kli. A thing doesn't go from being a kli to not a kli to being a kli to not a kli every moment. It means, what is its definition? So if it holds water, intrinsically, if that's its permanent nature, that it holds water, then it's a kli. So if it doesn't hold water and you just make a temporary knot so for a few days it can hold water, that doesn't give it a definition of a kli. See, a kli is a definition of a thing. The Kabbalah Tumah isn't just based upon the fact that right now I could use it in a certain fashion. It's based upon its underlying nature. So its underlying nature, you have to look. Certain structural things are affect its underlying nature, certain things don't. A knot, in general, doesn't affect things' underlying nature. A knot is a temporary fix, you know. Fix it, job. So therefore, a kli, if it's sewed up, that's a temporary, permanent thing. That's a kli. If it's just it's an open thing and it just happens to have a knot on the end, that doesn't redefine it. Right? That's the example. It's showing you that in terms of defining its underlying nature, a knot doesn't do that in general.